Okay. Next Thursday, the 29th, I'm taking a personal day. So, Carolyn has got a full day. So she's going to be here. She's going to be here running the lab from 9:30 until around 3-ish or whatever. And so my suggestion is that if you have catch up to do and things like that, you come as much as possible during that period of time. But she's going to be here basically all day and available for help. Traditionally, when I do this, the room is pretty full and she's pretty busy. But we will see. Okay, so that's next Thursday, the 29th. I'm going to North Carolina to play with Halloween, to be there for Halloween for the grandkids. They're old enough. So anyway, I am going to be gone. The other thing I want to mention is November 10th. We have a round table at 5 o'clock in the evening. But it's going to be people that have started their own computer company and also some people that just have work in local companies. And it's going to be at 5 o'clock in the evening on the 10th. And if you're interested in jobs and everything, I would suggest you go to it. Okay, so that's going to be there. And I managed to not turn on the whatever.
Robin's
setting it up for us, yeah. It's done, the entrepreneur people are setting it up. And it was originally going to be people that had started companies. And then they wanted a few more people, so they added some people, I believe. But yes, Robin said that.
Yeah, she did it yesterday. I volunteered. I helped her out.
Good for you. So, those are two things to note in your world there. Okay, we have the inventory file, and basically what I want to do a little bit of talking about is the relational database part of this, as well as looking at this. Okay, so if you scroll down, there is an inventory table, and there is, what else? A department table, and at some point, an inventory customer table, a sales rep table, a orders table, and an order line table. So those are all kind of the tables that are coming in here. So again, if you think about a relational database, and I put up an article that I found was kind of interesting that I ran across yesterday that was saying big data had been a lot of, oh, SQL is going to bite the dust with big data. And now they're beginning to discover that SQL is not going to bite the dust with big data, that they need the kind of power that SQL gives, and so that it's being incorporated a lot into big data. So it was kind of an interesting article. So I would suggest you read that.
Where okay. was it?
Huh?
Where was that on your...
I put it up on my website under this week someplace in there.
Okay.
But it's just kind of an interesting article. Okay, so I've got my in... Okay, good. Today's just not going to work. Okay, so I'm supposedly can hit this orient... And supposedly that's going to change everything. But we will see. Okay. So now if we come over here.
Okay, so we've got the InVen table. And that's going to have something like an item number, and I may not be using the same names that I use in this, but the concept is what I'm looking at now. So that's the item number, is the information about the inventory. And I'm going to have things like item name and price and all those kinds of things about the item there. Okay? Then I've also got an inventory customer table. And what this is much more of a wholesale operation than I envisioned, where the inventory customer is a customer that I know of, not somebody walking in off the street and buying something. This is much more of a wholesale operation. So at that point, I have the customer number, and I have the customer name and address and all the other kinds of information about the customer. Okay, so the primary key for the inventory table is going to be the item number. And the primary key over here is going to be the customer number. Okay, so then I go and I want them to be able to place an order. And I've called it orders. And I think we've looked at these before, but I just want to make sure, now that we're looking at keys, that you're comfortable with that. Okay, one of the things that you can do, and there are advocates on both sides of the idea of applying a new number, a unique number, and not having a multiple-part key. I don't happen to fall in that group on the whole. I tend to think of a multiple card key as more practical than having to come up with a number and remember what that number is. It's one more damn number to remember. And my life is full enough of those. But this happens to be one place that works. And that is, you frequently see an invoice number or an order number when you go into a place. There's frequently the order number is the next sequential number coming up, and invoice number being the same kind of thing. And so we're going to have here an order number. And the order number is the primary key. Okay? Now, the order is for a particular customer. So I'm going to have the customer number is going to be here. And that's going to be the foreign key. Okay? So the customer number here can link over to the customer number on the customer table to get information about the customer. And if you think about an order, there's usually the top part of the order. It's kind of like an invoice. The top part of the order is going to have the customer's name and their address and all that good stuff on it. Well, the customer address would be over here. And so I can link over and get the customer's name and the customer's address and put that onto the bill. Or onto the order. So there's a foreign key that I'm going to set up. And I'm going to set it up so that if I tried and put in an order with a customer that doesn't exist, if I've established a foreign key, it's not going to let me put up an order with a customer that doesn't exist. So a lot of this is timing. If I get a new customer, I have to create the inventory customer record first before that customer can place an order. And that makes sense. If I get a new customer, I've got to go in and put them into my customer file. And then once they're in my customer file, I can create an order for them. Okay? But I can't put up an order for a customer that doesn't exist.
And that's what a foreign key does for you. It establishes that link, and it also will not let you use big data that wouldn't work. Okay. So I have my order table. Then I have my order line table. And those are the line items for the order. Okay, so my order on the order line table is going to be all of the items that were put in for the particular order. So I've got to have the order number, because I've got to know what order number this is going to apply to. I've got to have the item number that they're ordering, so I got to have the item number in here as well. Okay? So I've got my order number and my item number. And my item number is linking over to there, and my order number to the inventory table, and my order number is linking over to there. Okay? Now, these two together are going to be my primary key. Okay? And I should have put over on orders, not that I'm particularly using it, but the date of the order is over there, because there's one date for the order. Okay, so I have an order number, I have a customer number, and a date. If I had not decided to have a unique order number, then my order would have the customer number and the date put together as the primary key. This customer ordered it on this date. And if I am concerned about the customer placing two orders on a given date, then my date gets expanded to include time. And then I'm okay. Okay. So, if I had not come up with a unique order number, then my customer and date would be the information that could give me a primary key. Over here, I've got the order number and the item number. So this applies to this order, and this is for this item. And I would have something like quantity to tell me the quantity of this particular item. Now, over on the inventory table, I have my price, and as I think I said when we've talked about this before, I can put price quoted on here if I want to carry the price that was quoted at the time the order was placed, as opposed to using the price that the order that is on the inventory when the order is filled, especially if there's a gap. And, you know, if you have a volatile price, then this is a good idea to have the quoted price so you know what price you actually told the customer. If your prices are pretty stable, then maybe you decide you don't want that. You're just going to go with the price that's on inventory. But if the price goes up between when the person placed the order and when you filled the order, they're not going to be happy. If it goes down, they'll be very happy. So you can consider putting price quoted there. Okay, so again, I have to link over the item number in order to get the price quoted. And when I'm preparing the report, I have to be able to print out the information from orders and order line together, so I need to be able to link over to the order. Okay. So this ends up being a foreign key, and this ends up being a foreign key, but they're also together the primary key. But the item number links over to the inventory table to get additional information, and the order number links over to the order table to get additional information if I'm preparing the order. Okay. So those end up being foreign keys. Now, I had a few other tables, and I've forgotten what they are, so we're going to go and look. I had my inventory, and what else did I have? Okay, I had a department table. So if I look at department table,
the department table links into the inventory. Okay, so you can see that on the inventory table I have the department, and then if I come down here to the department table, that's going to link in over there.
So I'm going to add a department table. So I've now got a department table. And I'm going to put department up here on the inventory table. My department table is going to have a department number, okay? And this is the department number. And then it's going to have a department name. And then it's going to have whatever else I want to know about the department. So department number, if I want for some reason the department name, department number can link, they can link together. And that will give me the department name. So if something on my inventory, I wanted to write out the department name, I can use the department number to link in here. The department number is a primary key over here, and here it's the foreign key that is linking in. Okay, so I have the department number. Now, if you go back to the rules of third normal form, one of the rules for third normal form, or a couple of the rules for third normal form, we can see up here. One of them is the repeating groups. The reason we have order line on a separate table is that if we put it under the orders table, we have to have a series of fields for each item that we're ordering. And then how many do you do? And you've all heard me tell the story of when I tried to place an order that had six items and they only allowed five. The other thing that they say in a relational database is that the only thing you can carry on the table are things that directly relate to the primary key. Well, department number directly relates to the primary key because it's the department that item is carried in. But department name relates to department number. It doesn't relate to the item number. Department name relates to department number. And so, therefore, I cannot carry department name on the inventory table because the department name is dependent on the department number, not on the item number. Okay? So, for example, you all have CI in your record, okay, that says you're a CI major. So you all have it in your major. If I were to try to carry computer information systems on every one of you, first of all, it's too much typing. And number two, I can't change the name of the major. If I do it this way, and I carry the CI on the student table, and then I carry a department table with CI in the name, if I want to change the name, I can just change it in that one place. And the name is to change for everybody. Okay? The department number, I don't want to ever change. It will stay CI forever and ever and ever, because that would involve too much work. But changing the department name is real easy, because I just change it once, and everybody that's a CI is now in that new major.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so say you go onto Amazon and you're shopping.
That's big data.
You pick something and it asks you which department you wanted it, and it might be in several different departments.
Yes.
So how would that work on a table like this? Can you? Would you have to read?
They actually, Amazon ran into, that's one of the problems that Amazon ran into, and I honestly don't know enough about big data.
Oh, okay.
But they have got, that's big data. Amazon is one of the examples of it. But also, they would have to carry multiple department numbers, basically. And so they would probably have a link
and from the item number, and then have separate records for all of the departments.
Table.
Yes, and have all of the have item
okay.
number, department number for all of the departments that they had. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
then the department number could link into the department table. So they'd have a little separate table that had item number and department number.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've seen that there too. And in fact, I can't figure out that it really makes any difference which
no.
one you choose.
You'll find it anywhere you
yeah.
pick.
Yeah, right. right. Although every once in a while you get some item that you want in Amazon and you know they gotta have it. But after really, or you've
you
seen
really
it in the past,
right.
and now you can't find it again. Does that indicate the frustration that I have felt recently in trying to find something? Okay, so now we're going to go back and let's look at the next table. So there's department table. And we've got inventory, we've got department, inventory customer, okay, sales rep. So on this one, I now have a sales rep table. And I decided I wanted to know something about the salesperson. And the inventory customer, I decided was going to have the sales rep. On there. Okay, but again, I can't carry the sales name on there because the salesman's name is tied to sales rep, not customer number. So I'm going to have a salesman table, and it's going to have sales rep as the primary key. And it's going to link up to it there as the foreign key. This is the foreign key. I'm actually drawing it the wrong way. Okay. It's the foreign key of sales rep is going to link in down here. And then I can have the salesman's name and any other information that I want to keep about the salesman. I think I had commission so that I told what commission they got. Okay, so that's one more table that I can have. And if I go back over and make sure I've got all of the tables. Orders, order line, and I think that's all of the tables that I did. Okay, so I've got those six tables. Okay, and they've got an interesting combination of primary keys and foreign keys. The only one on here that has a two-part or multiple-part primary key is the order line. The others all have standalone keys. One field is the key. Okay, but the repeating groups is where you end up having the multiple keys, is when you have repeating groups. That tends to lend to the multiple keys. Because what you've got here is a one-to-many relationship. Okay, one order can generate many order lines. So you've got a one-to-many relationship going on there. And that one-to-many relationship usually turns into a two-part key or three-part key or whatever it is. But it usually means because you have one-to-many, order number doesn't cut it over on the order line. You need something else to make it unique. And in this case, I did item number. Now, the limitation I have here is that the person, if they're placing a big order, cannot order the same item twice in one order. They can have a quantity that's big, but they can't go through and say, I want item 1, 2, 3, and then do a whole lot more, and then say, I want item 1, 2, 3. Because I have got order number and item number is the same.
So if they want more 1, 2, 3, I got to go back and adjust the quantity. Or else I have to have some kind of code that I add in up here as part of the key that says first time you ordered it, second time you ordered it, third time you ordered it. But I would need some kind of an extra thing. Right now I've got it such that on a particular order, there can only be one line item for a particular item. Okay, I can go back and change the quote, the quantity. But that's lots of times a pain in the neck. So, you know, if I thought this was going to happen a lot in my life, I might want to put a code in there where I put a 1, and then the next time it comes up, it would be a 2, and the next time it comes up, it would be a 3, and so forth. Okay. Questions on this?
So that's probably why, like, if you have one item but it's in different colors, each color of that item really
would
has
be a
its
different,
own
yeah,
item
yeah.
number.
Yeah, no, item numbers are usually very complex and lots of times include size, include color, include, you know, a lot of different things in item numbers. And if you're not included in the item number, then you got to carry that information. But you, lots of times if you look at an item number, you'll see all of that stuff embedded into it. Okay. So, now if we go back to looking at this handout, hopefully we're going to now kind of do this stuff. Okay. And this one is not going to be easy for you to do unless you happen to have all these tables, and I suspect most of you don't have all these tables set up. So this one we're going to run through and just look at. Okay, so I've got my alternate table inventory. And, okay, the stuff that we've had up until now, we haven't used primary keys. So I haven't been having you do primary key. So even if you have the inventory file, if you happen to do that, you probably didn't put a primary key on it. So that means you've now got to go in and do the alter. Okay? And so I said here, alter table inventory, add, and again, the constraint with the constraint name are optional. I could have said just add primary key item number. But if I want to have a constraint name on it, then I am going to include constraint and give the constraint a name. And when I do that, I find that I like to have what type it is included in the constraint name. So item PK gives me a lot of information. Item number PK tells me I'm doing it on the item number field and it's a primary key that I'm doing. I'm making a primary key. So by giving that name, I know what it is I did, that I made a primary key out of item number. Okay, so then I said primary key, and that's the part that's required, and then in parenthesis I put item number. And so that set the primary key at item number, and if you look at the, when I did a DESC below, item number has now got not null on it, which tells me that I successfully created the primary key. Then if I go in and say select asterisk from user constraints where table name equals inven, you'll see that it came up with the constraint name of item number PK. And I don't remember what our constraint name is as opposed to constraint name. I should have looked that up. And it is a primary key on inventory. Table name is inventory. Okay, so
So before I can make the department in the table inventory a foreign key into the department table, I need to go in and establish the department in the department table as the primary key for that table. Okay, so I've got the department table. And now I need to go in and make it the primary key.
So again, I'm doing an alter and saying add to the spray, this constraint department PK. I'm making the department into a primary key.
And I'm saying primary key department. Okay, so I've now added that as the primary key. So now that I've got a primary key on department, okay, so I went up and I made the primary key for the inventory table, which includes the department that's going to be a foreign key into the department table, right? So I've got now these two tables.
So the next thing I want to do is I want to make the department a foreign key into the department table. I want to make a foreign key. But before I can do that, I have to make this a primary key. Okay, I have to make department a primary key there because foreign keys link to primary keys.
Okay, so I've got the department in
the department in the inventory table. I want to make it a foreign key in here.
And the reason I want to make it a foreign key more than anything else is that I don't want an item to be able to be put in that doesn't belong to a department. Okay? So I go down and I make the department a primary key. And then once I've made it a primary key, I can make the foreign key. And so I made it the primary key. Now I can go in and say alter table inventory.
And I'm saying add and again constraint. And the constraint name are optional. So I'm saying add foreign key department references the department table.
Okay, so I'm saying add. I'm sitting in here and I'm altering inventory, which is going to have the department that points into the department table. Okay?
So inventory has the foreign key. And in department, DEPT, what did I call it? That's all I called it, is the primary key. Okay, so in department, department is the in department, DEPT is the primary key.
So I'm saying add foreign key department. So I'm picking a field on the inventory. Okay,
this is a field on the inventory. Field on the inventory. So I'm picking that and saying the foreign key of this field on the inventory table is going to reference into the primary key on the department table.
Does that make sense? So I had to make it the primary key before I could do that because reference means
reference into the primary key on the department table.
And on this one, instead of all of the stuff that I really don't care about, I went in and said, select table name, constraint name from user constraints where table name equals invin, and it gave me the item number primary key and the department inventory foreign key that I just did. And then I said, give me the table name, constraint name from user constraints, where table name equals department, and it gave me the department key, the department primary key. Okay, now by doing that naming that I did in the constraint, I don't have to ask about type because I know if it says PK, it's a primary key, and if it says FK, it's a foreign key. So I don't have to ask for the type as long as I've been careful and done what I said I'd do. If not, you have to go back into user constraints and find the thing that tells you the type. Questions? Okay, so to test this, I'm now going to add a row. Where am I? So to test this, I am now going to add a row to inventory with a department code that does not appear in the department table. The row is rejected because of the violation. Specifically, the parent was not found in the foreign key table. So I am adding a book, and the department is, if I actually knew where the department number was, I could tell you where the department is. Anybody? The department is third from the bottom, from the end. So apparently the department is BO. Okay, and apparently if you look at the department table, which I put in stuff, BO is not in there. Okay, so here's my department table, and BO is not there. And I tried to add one with BO, and it said, no, you can't do that. Okay. If I had tried to add BK, it would have been fine. So that is trying to add a department that doesn't exist in my department table. In the next code, I'm making the customer ID the primary table of inventory customer. Okay. I will then go on, so I added that constraint, and I added customer ID as the primary key. So customer ID is now showing up as the primary key. Okay. I will then go on and make sales rep the primary key of the table sales rep so that I can make sales rep in the inventory customer a foreign key linked to the sales rep primary key. I have to establish it first because I need to be able to link into it. The name after references refers to the table, not the column field, and is looking for the primary key in that table. Okay, now this is the one that I messed up, calling things by the same name, but decided to leave it to kind of point that out. Okay, so up here I called it sales rep, and down here I called it sales rep, but I've got an A in it. And I want to link this one to this one. And that's fine, I can do that, but it drives me crazy. Okay, I really find that it makes life a lot simpler if you keep the names the same table to table. Okay, but I made that mistake, and then after I made it, I said, you know, that's a good mistake to kind of point things out with, so I left it. So I had meant to make the table have the A in it, which I did. So the table and the field that's the primary key both have the A in them. And that was not what I meant to do. I meant to have the primary key still
match what was in the inventory customer. Okay.
So I went in and I said, add a constraint. The primary key is going to be sales rep, because that's the name that I gave it. So the primary key is going to be sales rep. Okay. And then when I came to making the foreign key, I said, add foreign key sales rep references sales rep. Okay, so
basically, this is the name on the InVen INV Cust. That's the name on InVen Cust. Okay. This is the table name, even though they're the same. This is the table name, and I am looking for, or I'm matching to, the primary key, which happens to have the same name. But that's irrelevant. If happens to have the same name. But that's irrelevant. If I had done what I meant to do, which was call it on the sales rep table, call it SLS, it would have worked just fine. There's not a problem, because it goes to the table called sales rep and grabs whatever I established as the key there, as the primary key there. But that is the table name. It has a match to the primary key, which happens to have the same name. Match probably wasn't a good word to say there. I'm not sure how to say that better. It will match to the primary key, and the key has the same name. It links, maybe that's a better word, links to the primary key. Questions? Yes.
Up until now, we've done all the joins and multiple tables using the word clause. Now that we're putting in the primary and foreign keys, will this change anything in the output results? Because I noticed if you don't use the order by, you just get a random order.
Yeah, and that's just true. I mean, yeah. I would love to know the parameters that Oracle uses in ordering the output.
Yeah.
But it has something to do with the methodology it uses in the searches. And if you care, you've got to put in the order by clause.
Yeah.
Because I will look at my solution when I run a solution, and then I will look at what you pass in, and lots of times we've got different orders. And that's partially because there's a gap of time there. But it's also partially because two of you could have different orders at some points.
Mm-hmm.
But if you care, you've got to use the order by clause.
Yeah. But having all the keys, though, would definitely make it faster, could do queries, and more efficient.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also prevents you from putting in a duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now you can put in a duplicate, so you could give the same order number to two orders. But once you put in the primary key, that cuts out a lot of those kinds of errors. And then you can also, as I said, add indexes to a field. I mean, when you go into a doctor's office, and that's the main example of this, is I go into the doctor's office, and they ask me for my patient number. I never know what my patient number is, so I give them my name. So that means that they've clearly set up an index on name. Patient number is the primary key, but they've clearly got an index on name. And if I put in my name, one person comes up. But if you happen to have, you know, Bill Smith is your name, then there's going to be a whole lot that come up, and then they have to ask you about addresses and everything to get the right one. Okay. But my name is, I don't think I've ever run into a duplicate of my name. So I'm okay. I can forget my patient name. My patient number, rather. And it makes life easy. Okay, so now we come down here, and I say, okay, select table name, constraint name from user constraints, where the table name is either inventory customer or sales rep, so I can get them both in one shot here. And you can see I've got the primary key on both tables, and I've got the foreign key on inventory customer that will link in to the sales table. So then I went down and I said, okay, now add the constrained order number on the orders table. So I've made the primary key on that table. And then I've established a foreign key that goes and says, add the constraint foreign key, which takes the customer ID on the orders table and references inventory customer. Okay, so this that I have just set up there is going to, customer ID is going to link into inventory customer and link into the primary key on inventory customer, which is customer ID. Okay, so it's linking into the primary key, which is customer ID. Okay, so I've established that foreign key, and now if I look at orders and inventory customer, I can see I've got two foreign keys going on. On inventory customer, I have a foreign key that is based on sales rep, and on orders I have a foreign key that's based on customer ID. Okay. And I didn't do sales rep. I could have said table name equals sales rep there, but I didn't. Now the next one, which is the order line table, has a two-field primary key. So the order line has a primary key that's composed of order number and item number. This is done by listing the first, followed by a comma, and then the second within the parenthesis after primary key. So, in addition, both order number and item number are foreign keys. So I will end up being sure that the order number exists on the order table and the item number exists on the inventory table. Okay, so my order one has got a primary key of both, and notice it puts not null in both of them. And then order number links into the orders table, and item number links into the inventory table. So you have to go through the whole structure of setting these up. So I'm now making the foreign keys, and I'm saying the order number references into orders, and again, order number is the primary key on orders. Okay, order number is the primary key on orders, and item number is the primary key on invent. And I've now set up the foreign keys to link in there.
Okay, so I've now set up my foreign keys to link in there. So, I mean, we're doing this with, I think, 6 tables. You know, it wouldn't be uncommon to have a system that had 20 tables that you have to set up all of this stuff with. Now, if you know it at the beginning, you don't have to go through all this altar business because you can establish the key as you're creating the table. Okay, so you can establish the primary key as you're creating the table, and you can also establish the foreign key if you've got... but then it's important that you're careful about the order that you create the tables. Okay, so I tried here to link in, and the order number was not valid. And then I, or the ID, whatever the second thing is. Orders has order number and item number. No, customer number. Okay. And so it wasn't a valid customer number, and then I did get a valid customer number. And I don't know, somewhere up here I probably have a list of customers, but I'm not sure I do. There's the inventory table. There's the department table. I'm not sure I do have the list of customers. It's floating around someplace when I first created this. Okay, so I tried to add one that wasn't valid and it kicked it out because the parent key was not found. And notice system date gets me the current date. So when I was putting in... inserting things into autos, I use system date to get the current date. Which certainly beats typing the date all the time. And then I went in and tried to put in an order line for an item that didn't exist. And that got kicked out, and then I tried to put in an order for one that did exist, and it was happy to take it. Okay. But order number 5 doesn't exist, and so it kicked that out. And I basically just played around in here of doing things that wouldn't work and then doing things that would work. Questions? So, the primary key not only helps you with access, but it also helps you stay honest. And the foreign key, I should have said. The primary and foreign key also just help you stay honest. And that's a good thing. Okay, they are classified as constraints, which indicates that Oracle also looks at them as being important from that angle. Because if you think about yesterday when we had the list of constraints, primary key and foreign key are classified as constraints, which means that they are emphasizing the keep you honest business. How are we doing? We got 15 more minutes. Okay, so this one, the user allows you to see constraint names and see what the constraint is on. This just gets into, okay, you can put the following clauses on the alter table to deal with problematic indexes that you want to drop, or primary, or primary keys that you want to drop. Drop a primary key, drop a constraint, give the name of the constraint, drop a foreign key, and give the name of the foreign key. Okay, so you can get rid of something if you set it and you don't want it anymore, you can get rid of it. Okay, the cascade clause scares me, but it tends to work, but the cascade clause will cascade and drop things in all associated links. So if it drops a primary key and you had a foreign key linked to that, it will get rid of the foreign key too. Won't get rid of the data, it will just no longer make it a foreign key. And I went in and did some of playing around with that. So there I've got a drop primary key. Okay, so I altered the table and then I said, okay, no, I don't want it. And now it's gone away. And then I did a drop cascade. And it meant that the foreign key, any foreign key that links to that primary key, also goes away. I mean, the problem with cascade is that I may not remember all of the things, whereas if I force myself to do them individually, I at least know that I'm a control freak. And I'm in more control than when I hit cascade and magic happens. I get very nervous about magic happening. although it works very well, and I ought to, in truth, trust Oracle more than I trust me, because I'm sure Oracle makes less mistakes than I do. But I'm still a control freak, so cascade still scares me. But that's what this is talking about, is basically that you can drop things and get rid of them.
And the disable is just temporary.
Yes. Yes. And enable puts it back again. So if I want to cheat and do something I'm not allowed to do, I can disable for a few minutes and then enable it back.
I'm just going to ask the question, why would you ever want to disable and enable?
Because I want to cheat. Okay, I was going to work in this in class, but I think we've kind of run out of time. I mean, we can look at it and play with it a little bit.
But if you dropped the primary key and didn't use cascade, then someplace else might use a foreign key to that primary key, and then it would be messed up.
And then it would mess up, yes. Yeah. No, I mean, you cannot have a foreign key that doesn't go to a primary key. So be very careful when you do these, because you can really, I mean, especially, let's say you've got a system with 20 tables. You can really get yourself into trouble. And so you really want to lay it out on paper and really look at the design and really go through the whole thing, which should be done before the tables were even created. I mean, creating a database should not be an individual project. It's not like programming can be an individual project. Creating a database should be a discussion between the technical people, the people that you're creating the database for, that are going to be working with the database. And that discussion should include all of the keys. That's going to be more on the technical side, but you still want people there that are going to be using the system. And so you really are going through this. And really getting it ironed out on paper. You don't just, it's not one of those things that you say, oh, we need a database, and sit down and start throwing the tables together. Okay, it requires a lot of thought and should be done in a team so that you have multiple people saying, what about, and how do we handle, and all those kinds of questions. Okay, so I came over here, and if you want to play with this, I would suggest that this is a good thing to play with. I created a table donor, and I donor Z, and I basically just copied my donor donation and drive table because I didn't want to mess them up. Okay, so I created a copy of all of those tables. Okay, and then I went in and I put in the primary keys. So I've got the ID number is the primary key of donors, and then I did a DESC to show that it actually worked. And then on donation, I added a constraint that was three parts. So I added ID number, drive number, and contribution date, because those are the three fields that make up the primary key. Okay? So I went through and I made the primary key that included all three of those fields. And then I went through and said, all right, I'm now looking at the drive table, and the drive number is the primary key, so I made that the primary key. Okay. And then I started going in and doing the foreign keys. So I said, alter the table donation, okay? And the foreign key is going to be drive number. Now notice the drive number is part of the primary key of the donation table. But that's not a problem. It's part of the primary key. But it's a field I want to make a foreign key. And it's a foreign key and it references into drives. And drives has a drive number as the primary key. So it works just fine. And then I said, let's see what I said next. Okay, and then just for the heck of it, I created a new table that had data with key, and so I created it there to show how I can create the primary key as I went along. So that just shows the creating of the primary key, and I made a references, and I made a major one that I also created and created the primary key there. And then I said alter it to put in a foreign key. And I then went in and added constraints, and I included the not null constraint, I think, yeah. I added a not null constraint. I added a check to make sure the major was one of those things. Then I dropped a constraint. And I think that's about it. Okay, as I said we were going to start this in class, and I clearly lied since we've got three more minutes. I will post it out there, but anybody that actually wants to go through this exercise, I will give you extra credit. So if you go through and just do what I did, not even
You don't have to get creative or anything. Just do what I did, which is what we were going to do in class. I'll give you extra credit because I think it's a good exercise to kind of make sure you understand what's going on. Okay? So if you go through and do that, that is extra credit. So then I came down to your assignment, and here we've got to go to the oil company, and so you're going to have to create the tables. If you haven't created them, you got to create them. And I suddenly remembered that, so I didn't say, after all your work, I didn't send it out again. Because then I realized I wanted them to create the table here.
Scripts?
Yeah.
Oh.
But thank you anyway.
Okay.
So, I want you to go back to the oil company you created and establish the keys. Okay? And then I asked you to design and develop a set of tables for the payroll system using the things below. Okay, so if you were to design this, what are you going to have as tables? Actually, we've got about 5 minutes because we get those extra 3 minutes, so we'll use them today. What tables would you end up designing on this one? And I said, if you want me to look at the design before you implement, send it to me. But let's talk about it a little bit.
You need an employee master table.
Yes, I need an employee table.
With employee number as primary key?
Yep. Say that again. Those would all, I think, would all go on my employee table.
I need a project table.
I need a project table.
You need another table that has the employees on the project?
Yeah.
With the hours?
Yes. So I've got an employee table, and that's going to have all of my employees. I'm going to have a project table, and that's going to have all of my projects. Okay? And those are pretty straightforward key type things. Okay? I'm going to have an ID for the project, a name for the project, the manager on the project, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to have the employee stuff. Then what I need to know is the hours the employee worked on the project. So that's going to be another table. And that one can be the worked table or something like that. I don't know what you want to call it, but that's the work table that shows how much they worked or for each employee. So what's going to be the key on that table?
Employee number. And project number.
Okay, and? Because if you just have employee number and project number, how many times does the employee get to work on the project?
Just once.
Just once. And I want the employee working on the project maybe every day. Maybe I'm going to say, you know, I want you to work on this project 4 hours every day.
So you need
a date or something?
Yeah.
Date or?
Yeah. So I would need to have the employee worked on the project, and this ends up being a many-to-many relationship because one employee can work on many projects, and one project can have many employees working on it. So it's like that star and actor one that I have used as examples in other classes, where you have a star table and a movie table. That's what it was. A star table and a movie table.
And one star can work on many movies. Many movies can work on... One movie can have many stars, so you've got a many-to-many relationship. So I've got a many-to-many going on here. Which means I can't carry the projects over under employee, because if I carry the projects under employee, the employee can work on many projects. We're really not done. You're welcome to come in, but we're finishing up. So the employee can work on many projects. I can't carry the employee over here under project because, again, I can have many employees working on the project. So I can't carry project under employee, and I can't carry employee under project. So you were right when you said I need to have a key that is made up of both employee and project. And then because we want them to be able to work on many things, we put in a date. And so what's my primary key on this?
Which one?
Worked.
For the work. Those three fields.
That's right. So these three fields end up being my primary key. Okay? And then what piece of data do I want to carry on that?
Hours.
And the rule is that the data has to relate to the entire key. And it does, because the hours are talking about a particular employee working on a particular project on a particular date. And so hours relates to all three. So you're going to end up with these three tables. Here, you can probably do this without sending me a review of the design because we've just gone through it. And for those of you who are home, if you look at the slides and listen, you too have been covered. Okay, questions? Does that make sense? So we now have actually seen an example of a many-to-many. Earlier today, we saw a one-to-many, and now we're seeing a many-to-many. And a many-to-many ends up carrying this table. And lots of times, this table is called a bridge table because it bridges between the two. So it's frequently called a bridge table.
Okay, we're done. And we ran 3 minutes over, but that's all right because we got out 3 minutes early some other time. So we'll average it all out and say we did just fine. And I never did go into Oracle today.